Well, how do you know the difference? We know it's daytime when the light is shining, right? When the sun is out. And we know the nighttime has come when the sun has set, when it gets dark out. Now, it's by God's design that we spend most of our time, our wake time, our conscious time in the daytime. And on the flip side of that coin, we spend most of our time asleep when? In the nighttime. Unless, of course, you work third shift. But that's why third shift pays more, because it goes against our own nature. It goes against God's design, and so they incent you to go against that with some extra. Now, given this truth, that it's by God's design that we sleep in the nighttime, how many of us sleep with the shades closed? You know why we close the shades? We close the shades so that when the sun comes up, it doesn't wake us up too early. Right? We can sleep in past that time, especially this time of year when the days are long. Now, my wife, God bless her, she believes that shades should be left open so that the sunlight can come in and gently inform us that it's time to awaken. But that's where her and I disagree. We did, in fact, just celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary, so it hasn't gotten between us. But I need your help this morning to help settle this debate. And so, by a show of hands, how many of us prefer to keep the shades closed so that we can sleep in as long as we need to? Honey, I think we have a majority. If it went the other way, I would have accepted it. As we turn to our opening text in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, if you'd stand with me one more time, we see a very similar debate, a debate of light versus dark. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, in our opening text, it says, "And that knowing the time..." There's a consciousness that has to come, an awareness, an awakeness, knowing that now is the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Every day, every hour, every week, we are closer to the fulfillment of God's promise, this gift of salvation. And knowing that time is going forward, that time is now spent, the night is far spent, and the day is at hand, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Let us walk honestly while there's light out. Not like those who make a scene stumbling down the streets and rioting, and not like those who are shouting out in a state of drunkenness. Let us walk honestly like we'd walk in the daytime, not allowing unbridled lust or adultery, being chambering or wantonness to consume our waking hours. Let us walk honestly in the light, not living in strife, being in contention, arguing, or letting everything in us produce envy to anger and division. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Romans chapter 13 here says, don't sleep in with the shades shut, letting darkness rule our life. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has called us individually to awaken out of darkness and to walk in light. And then collectively here, we as a body of believers, Apostolic Faith Church, it's high time for us to awake out of sleep, because God is calling us to take a step away from darkness. And as you take a step away from darkness, you cannot help but take a step towards the light. Could we put our Bibles down one more time here, and could we just thank him for the light, for the light that has brought life into our lives. His light is shining on this place here tonight, shining in hearts, shining in minds. And wherever the light is, there is life. Amen. You may be seated. So let me ask you this. Do you think the God who put everything into motion, who put the earth spinning on its axis, who put the planets in orbit around the sun, do you think he keeps track of a calendar? Does he have an Outlook application that he marks and keeps track of the days? Well, he might not have an application. He doesn't need that. But he's the one who created the days, the night, and the daytime, the 24 hours that make up that day, and the 7 days of a week, and the weeks of a month, and the month of a year. And so it's obvious through the precision that God has put in motion all around us that he's very much into timekeeping, very much into having a calendar of events. You just have to look outside and see how predictable it is, how the things around us move. The sun rises and the moon comes, and then we see it all over again. And while some days are longer because there's more light, and some days are shorter because there's less light, the light and the darkness are both by his design. And like the seasons of this earth that change, there's seasons in life that change, and they change by design. Some days are darker, some days are lighter. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, "To everything there is a season, and to every time a purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted." Can I tell you this morning, God is doing all the above in parallel. He is planting and he is harvesting all at the same time, even here this morning, even here today. Sometimes God speaks a word into our lives like a farmer that plants seed. And sometimes that seed has to go through a season before it comes to fruition, or that seed brings forth something that you can see above the ground. In our walk with God, there are times and seasons with God when he will plant things within us, put a thought in us like a seed, speaking his will for us through his Spirit. And when we receive that unction in the Holy Ghost, when we feel God has put something in us, sometimes we in our human nature, we want to see it come to pass sooner rather than later, because God spoke it. And it's easy to forget that the seasons are, in fact, also by his design. And sometimes when I'm in those seasons, I have to remind myself that patience is the part of the fruit of the Spirit. Patience comes as God's Spirit works in us, which consequently implies that we don't come pre-equipped with as much patience as God would like us to have. And so then when God plants this seed, this thought for his will in our minds, we can frustrate ourselves sometimes when we start to dictate back to God the timeline for the thing that he has spoken that will come to pass. Church, if he said it, it'll happen. His word is a strong foundation. And a life lived in obedience to the word of God is like a nail in a sure place. You can count on it. I say all of that to say it was 595 days ago that God planted part of this morning's message in me. I know that's very specific. But I know it was 595 days ago because it was on the first Sunday of 2021, January 3rd to be precise. And on that Sunday, not only did he plant part of this message in me, he planted part of this message in you as well. I remember this particular Sunday better than most Sundays because it was this Sunday, it was the Sunday before my accident, and that next Sunday I found myself in the hospital going into surgery. You know, some milestones that we remember a little bit better than other things. I didn't know it at the time, but looking back, that Sunday, January 3rd, 2021, was going to be my last service for several months. And it was that first Sunday of that new year that I preached a message entitled, Prepare. You might remember that message, or you might not remember it by title, but you probably don't remember that specific date, but if you were here that Sunday, you might remember that I gave each of you a notebook. In that message, I shared my burden for us as a body to prepare ourselves for the harvest that God wanted to bring, that he still desires to bring. And like a mother prepares for the birth of their child, they have 9 months to to put everything in order, to make a space, to collect the things that they will need for the baby that is yet to be born. And we as a church prepare ourselves so that God can use us, so that new births can go forth. And that Sunday I preached John's message, prepare the way of the Lord. It was a call to action, a call to arms, to prepare for an outpouring of God's Spirit that was going to coincide with his return. And while I don't doubt hearing from God for that message on that particular Sunday, January 3rd, 2021, from my perspective, that message and the direction was going to be a springboard into God's will for us through a series of messages in my mind. At that time, I felt like this was just the jumping off point that God had been planting in me over the months that were leading up to this new year, and now here we are crossing the threshold into the calendar of 2021, and then suddenly what was in my mind was to happen next changed completely, as I all of a sudden was not available to be on the scene whatsoever. Bedridden for 2 months, waiting for my ankle to heal, to give strength, separated from the body, disconnected. That's not to say that the call to action didn't also carry forward without my presence. That's not it at all. In fact, many of you shared your testimonies with me of how God used that call to action to usher in some new things into your life and your walk with God. And as I asked us to just generally, through these notebooks, journal our daily interactions with God, what we prayed about, what he spoke to us, what the Word of God said, And I appreciated the testimonies that you shared after the fact of how God used that in your lives. But in my mind, in my timeline of what God was wanting to do, it appeared from my perspective of what I thought was going to happen didn't actually happen. What I thought was going to unfold didn't actually unfold in the way I imagined it would. But then a few weeks ago, that same seed that God had planted 595 days ago sprouted something new in my life. This morning, I'm not going to preach the message that I preached the beginning of January 2021, but I do believe that God has brought to the surface the same intent, the same direction, not the same message, but the same orientation aligned to the Word of God. And I now see this series reemerging that I imagined 2 years ago, no doubt having some of the very similar, if not the same, biblical principles. And so if you turn with me to our next scripture in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this morning I'd like to kick off the first in a mini-series entitled Walk in the Light. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, "This then is the message that we heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." You see, the Bible clearly says there's no room for a mixture of light and darkness in us. When we're filled with God's Spirit, God is light, and in him is no darkness. That's not to say there isn't a progression that takes place. There absolutely is a progression that takes place after we're born again. As we mature as a child of God that first can only stomach milk, we grow into a place where we, as an adult, can eat the meat of the Word, where we can handle something heavier. This progression that takes place is a result of walking in the light. Verse 7 said, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with the body of Christ, and we have this covenant relationship with Jesus through his blood." Verse 8 and 9 further conveys this concept of a progressive work, as it said, if we confess our sins. See, if you walk in the light, doesn't mean you're perfect. It means that you're aware that there's a direction you're headed, and that direction is towards God. And as we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, When we do stumble, when we do fall, when we do make a mistake, we are quick to repent, to confess. If we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then verse 10 goes on to give us one of those precious promises. It says, you know, it's the promise that his Spirit always works. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. His Spirit will always reproduce himself. That same Spirit of God will cause us to walk in a direction towards the light because he is light. And if we continue to walk towards the light, we will continue to confess our sins because we will continue to see ourselves in a light that we didn't see ourselves before. And when we truly repent, we will ever move from a life filled with darkness to a life filled with his light. We will move from a lack of understanding to an understanding of what it is that God is asking us to do. And he's so gentle, he's so patient. He doesn't give it to us all at once. He says, just take the next step. Just walk in the light. And when we take these steps, we have this precious promise that he will engraft his divine nature into our nature, that we will have this ongoing exchange of darkness for light as evidenced by our repentance. And repentance, not a one-time event at an altar, right? Paul said, I die daily. Repentance is a daily awakening, a wake-up call that proclaims the light of God in us. If you turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, here we read about the progression from darkness to light. And just to be clear, it's not a license to live however we want. While walking in the light is not a place of perfection, it is a direction towards ever greater levels of obedience to the Word of God. It makes no room for us to then simply check out or go our own way. There is a clear orientation that we must maintain in our lives to walk in the light. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 says, The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Can I tell someone here this morning that it's more important what direction you're walking in than where you're at in this journey with God? Your orientation is more important. Let me be clear that before you can walk in the light, you have to be born of the water and the Spirit. That's the first step. It's the same message that Jesus told Nicodemus, marvel not that you must be born again, born of the water, baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of our sins, born of the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, as evidenced with a language spoken that we've never learned. And if you're here this morning, you haven't been born of the water or born of the Spirit, today is your lucky day. There is no waiting for another time, because the promise is to all that are afar off. There's no pre-qualifications except repentance at an altar. God wants to cleanse you of your sins this morning. He wants to baptize you in his name for the remission of your sins. He's already paid the price. He's just waiting for you to accept the payment. And as the earnest of our inheritance, he gives us his Spirit so that we can start to walk in a direction that we couldn't walk just a moment ago. I tried to live a life of Christianity growing up. I grew up in an evangelical home, and I'm grateful for the foundation that my parents instilled in me, a love for God, a love for the Word of God, an understanding that God is real, but I did not have the power of His Spirit working in me that I needed in order to actually do the things I needed to do, and so I just gave up. You must be born again. Once you've been born into the kingdom of God, now we can grab a hold of this promise of walking in the light that we read in Matthew chapter 6. Whoever's on the screen, can you put Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 back up for me? You see, here we have this promise that as we take steps in obedience. I mean, you're here this morning, you took a step. You might not have realized that you were taking a step in obedience, but the Bible says, gather all the more together. We've gathered together. We've taken a step in obedience. We're seeking something from the Lord. And so As we take every step, every little step, every big step, we grow into the promises of God, and He's light and we are in darkness. We all start in the same place. You could have been born in the church, you could have grew up sleeping underneath a pew, and you still need to have a time of repentance, a turning around, a decision of your own self to live a life in obedience to the word of God. We all start in darkness, for all have sinned and fallen short. And as we all start in darkness, as we start to take steps towards God, as we start to walk in the light, every step we take closer to in obedience to the word of God, we take a further away from darkness. And at first, we don't even realize some of the things that are happening in our lives, that God is changing, that He is orchestrating, that He is starting to move us from where we were to where He wants us to go. And then as we become more conscious, as let's say we're born again, we're born of the water, born of the Spirit, all of a sudden this illumination shows up and we realize that there's this path that God has had us on, that He's already been leading us on, that we have been taking steps in, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly. And if thine eye be single, if our orientation is pointed in the right direction, that's all that matters. You see, because we all start in the same place. We all start in darkness. And it's less important about where am I at relative to my starting point and where God wants me to go. The most important factor here, the principle of walking in the light, is that we're orientated in the right direction, that our eye be single, that we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that we keep our eyes on Him. And as we do, we will always take steps forward. We will always progress. We will always grow. We will always become something that we weren't before if we continue to keep our eyes singly on Him. But sometimes we start to turn and look away, and now darkness has an opportunity to enter in. But the moment we recognize the error of our ways, we can simply change our orientation, get back on the path, and align ourselves in with Him. If our eye be single, if we're walking in the right direction, every step we take is a step away from darkness and a step into greater light. And as long as we're in this life, as long as we have breath, as long as we are living, we will ever need to continue to walk in the light. And as we do that, as we progress, God will ever take darkness and exchange it for light, His love, His Spirit, His power. No man can serve two masters. You can't orientate yourself with God and with the world. It's not a message of perfection. It's not a message of a level of attainment, but it's a message of a direction that we continue to live in, that if we will progress and God will do great things in us, walking in the light. And as we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, we will confess our sins, because the light shines and exposes the things in our lives that God is asking us to exchange. And let me tell you, whatever He's asking you to exchange this morning, He's going to give you something better in return. He doesn't ask us to sacrifice so that we can suffer. He asks us to give up those things that are displeasing to Him, because He wants to give us a better version of whatever it was. Luke chapter 11, verse 33 says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come may see the light. The light of the body is the eye, the orientation of where we are looking. Therefore, with thine eye, with thy orientation, with the trajectory in which we align our lives, if thy eye is single, if we're wholly focused on God, you are the highest priority. God, my obedience to you is of the utmost importance. It doesn't mean that I will always make the right decisions and that I won't have mistakes that I need to confess. But because your light is shining, because my orientation is right, I will recognize my need to ask for forgiveness, and you are faithful to forgive. When thine eye is single, thy whole body is also full of light." See, you can be a brand new saint, born again, and while you don't have everything God is wanting for your life quite yet, you can be the light to this world as equally as anyone else. If your orientation is right, if your direction is moving in the right direction, you don't have to understand it all in order to witness, to tell and confess the goodness of God, to experience the miraculous. You don't have to, you will learn, you will become, but it's not a requirement. Your orientation, though, that is a requirement. Your eye must be single. The whole body, then, is also full of light. And why not? But if thine eye is evil, then the whole body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. And when the bright shining of a candle giveth thee light. You see, God knows how to reproduce himself. He is light. And he puts his light in us. When he presents this gift of salvation and we accept that gift being born again and we start to walk with God, we walk in the light. And then as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we will always reproduce his light to a lost and dying world. Luke 11 and 33 said, no man, when he has lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, on display, so that they that come by may see the light. The expansion of God's kingdom has to start with people who walk in the light. Children of God who orientate themselves to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as their primary focus, as the priority, not perfect, but moving in a direction towards perfection. And in doing so, without any special programs or fancy marketing slogans, we become the candle that shines light into darkness. We become the conduit for God to shine into other people's lives. We don't even have to decide, like, it's not a decision we make, like, I'm going to shine today. If the love of God is in your heart, it will shine through. When we walk in the light, when we orientate ourselves, keeping our eyes on Jesus, it's a natural consequence. It's not a decision we make. It's an outcome of a life lived that reproduces God in us, shining to someone else. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle, but put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, the outpouring of God's Spirit on all flesh that God is wanting to do in these last days comes from a body that's full of light. The new births that God has already planned on his calendar are just looking for someone to become so bright that they become like a beacon, a light that draws people that are hungry to leave darkness and take steps towards something that gives life. I believe that over the next weeks and months, God is going to demonstrate to this body of believers how simple it is to reproduce his light in others when we simply become obedient to the small things of walking in the light. This Sunday is the first in a series, a short series entitled Walk in the Light. And so here, as we've introduced the context and the foundation, that is that we are to become bright lights and that if we walk in the light, we will be the light, and it's a natural consequence. And so with these things in mind, with these two things in mind, I'd ask if you turn to John chapter 1, verse 1. You know, for some, this lesson may even feel a little bit elementary, but it's good to rehearse the ABCs, the 1, 2, 3s. In John chapter 1, verse 1, we start at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The word logos is the divine expression of God. In the beginning was the divine expression of God, the logos, and the logos was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. See, light brings life. Verse 5 then says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus is the light that brings life to mankind. The light that shined into us as God manifested himself to us the logos or the divine expression of God, the Word of God made flesh, revealing his name and his image in Jesus Christ, the perfect union of divinity and humanity. And so here's a kind of math equation for walking in the light. If the Word of God was manifest in the form of man, the divine expression of God, the Logos, that man being Jesus Christ, God with us, the Word was made flesh as the light shined into darkness. So if that's the way God manifests his light through himself, the Word made flesh, then if we take that in reverse, one way that fallen mankind can walk into light is to do the same thing, but in the reverse order. When we allow the Word of God to become in us, we too become the Word made flesh, or the flesh made Word, the divine expression of God manifest to a lost and dying world. We become light, but we're going in the reverse order. God was light, and he manifests himself. We are flesh, and we are moving from darkness to light. The Bible says that Jesus is the stone that the builders refused, the pattern that didn't make sense, refused because the darkness comprehended it not. And that once refused stone has now become the chief cornerstone, the pattern by which we are to build our lives after, and that light that gives life to men whose eyes are focused on him as we orientate ourselves singly in a direction towards God, taking steps in of obedience towards God, ever increasing in our ability and maturity in our walk with God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." We're talking about us individually, and we're talking about us collectively, the body of Christ, the building program that God has sponsored from before the foundations of the world. And I believe that God wants to pour out a greater degree of himself into us through something as simple as taking a step in obedience to reading his word, the outcome of which will produce a light that shines into darkness, that becomes a beacon of hope to all those who we come in contact with, because in him is no darkness. And so this Sunday morning, August 21st, 2022, 595 days after a seed that was planted in me that I shared with you, and seemingly from my perspective was not the timeline or somehow cut short, God in his perfect timing this morning has brought to the surface that same intent as before, but with a slightly different banner that is walking in the light. This morning I have a very similar gift. Well, I have the same gift as I did that first Sunday of 2021, and I have one for each and every one of you. If you're a guest here this morning, I have a gift for you. We didn't advertise it, but I'm not sure this notebook would have attracted too many on its own, but nonetheless, you're here, and so God wants you to have one of these notebooks. It's a blank notebook. It has nothing in it except lines and pages. Each notebook has 60 pages on it, and on the top of each page, there's a little place that says, you know, what is the date? And so starting tomorrow for the next 60 days, 60 pages of this notebook, this gift I have for you, I'm asking for each of you to make a commitment to read the Word of God, to take a few minutes each day. We're not asking you to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, Mount Fuji, no serious things like that. No, we're just asking you to do some simple things, some small things. So I'm asking that each of us would take a few minutes each day for the next 60 days to read aloud a short passage from the book of Psalms. So included in your notebook is a sheet, and on the sheet you'll see 60 days worth of scriptural reading, and I promise you this is very light exercise. Many of the books of Psalms are very short. The first Psalms chapter 1 is 6 verses long. How long does it take to read 6 verses? Not a long time. Chapter 2, Psalms chapter 2 is 12 verses long. And so Psalms is wonderful in the fact that you can oftentimes read a whole chapter in a short sitting in just a few short minutes. And so along with these notebooks, I've got a list of scriptures for each day that I'm asking each of us to read. And so there's some instructions that go along with this that ask, as you read, we're not reading to cross a finish line. The Word of God is not a book to conquer. It is not a mountain to plant your flag on. It is the bread of life. That we would consume this book, that we would not just transact with it through reading of it, which is good, but that we would ponder what we're reading. And so it's hard to ponder when you're trying to get from here to all the way there in a short period of time. And there's great programs out there for reading your Bible in a year, reading your Bible in 3 months, reading your Bible in 1 month. There's all sorts of, we're asking you to do the lightest of light versions here, which is just simply to read your Bible each day for a few minutes. But do it in a way that actually allows you to think about it, to ponder what you're reading, to chew just a little bit and savor the taste of it, to ask God to speak to you through it. And then as you write down the date on the page, and as you read the scriptures for that day, make a few bullet points as to what God is speaking to you. Obviously, he's already written it down in his word, so he doesn't need you to write it line by line, but whatever speaks to you, it could be something as simple as, God is good and sin is bad. There's two bullet points. Whatever it is. And so read it, ponder it, take the time to write down your response, what you perceive, your understanding, or something that jumped off the page and spoke to you that day. And then think about, how does that relate to my own life experiences, past or present? As we read the book of Psalms, David's life was not without challenges. We'll read many times in which he is wondering, what shall I do, where shall I go, and how shall I get there? Always coming back to a central theme of, Lord, you are God, and I trust you, and I don't understand, but I'm willing to. And so, what did we read? A few bullet points. How does that relate to us? And write it down. God, this is how I see myself here, or things that I've experienced in the past, or maybe I even see in the future. And then lastly, how might we apply whatever it is we read going forward? What might we do, or what might we continue to do? Sometimes it's simply a reinforcement of things that we're already doing, but thus saith the word of the Lord. Or how might I apply that to the future? I have this goal. What might I do? Maybe even today. Maybe we write down a for today, here's how I might like to apply this, the word of God, to bring it down home. Church, can you imagine what would happen if an army of the Lord for 60 days started to sing the same song? Right, when we come into church, when we come into a service, when the musicians play, we don't all sing a different song, do we? No, we read the words, we say them together, we worship God in unity, and there's a beautiful atmosphere that it creates that attracts the Spirit of God, and God moves in our presence. And now let's take that and take it outside of the building. Let's take it home to home. I heard some testimonies already this week of what God is doing outside of these walls as he moves in lives of individuals, as he prompts you to do things in your own everyday life, to pray for people, to witness to people, to take the land, to walk, to pray, to do whatever it is that God is doing. And it's not because someone told you to, except God prompted you to. And I'm so grateful for the church is operating outside of these walls. As we learn to operate as effectively outside of these walls as we operate inside these walls, God is going to bring a great revival that we cannot contain or comprehend or even imagine. And I believe this is a small ingredient. This is a part of the puzzle, a part of just simple obedience. It's almost like we're performing a science test on ourselves. Now, I know many of you already have a regular reading routine that you go through, or some program, some framework, or a daily Bible, and that is great, and I'm not suggesting that you not do those things. I'm just asking that you would add 6 to 12 verses a day from Psalms as we march in unity, as we move our eyes solely orientated, singly, our eye be single on Him in a single direction. You say, why Psalms? Why not? we could have selected any. All Scripture is inspired by God. And here's something I've learned over time, is that I can read the Word of God, and just like our prayer, we can think thoughts to God, and He knows what we're thinking. There's nothing hidden from Him. But there's something powerful when we speak our prayers that is more powerful than when we just think them. When we confess with our lips, when we give Him glory, when we speak it out loud, when we pray prayers of intercession with words spoken through our mouth. And the Word of God is no different. When we read the Word of God out loud, there is something that transacts at a higher level than when we just think about it. And so if you're in a place where you can read the Word of God out loud, I would encourage you to do so. To speak the Word of God, to let the words transact for themselves. There's days when we're reading and maybe we don't fully comprehend, and that's an opportunity in itself to say, God, help me understand. Don't just move on to the next chapter, the next portion. Help me understand. Help me to get something out of it. Ponder it. Think about it. Chew on it. Savor it. Now, as we move forward collectively, I believe that the step that we take, there's a great unity that is taking place in this body of Christ. And as we walk singly with our eyes focused on Him through the Word of God, through a small, small transaction, I believe this science test is going to produce something in us that, well, maybe just wouldn't have come any other way except we allow the light to shine through us because it shines in us. As the musicians come in, we turn to our last scripture this morning, Psalms chapter 119, verse 103. Psalms 119 and 103 says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way, and the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The light of God wants to shine into our lives through very simple form, being the Word of God. And when we start to take the Word of God outside of these walls, when we take it to our homes, the places we live our lives, when we start to transact with words from heaven spoken out of our mouths, read from a book that God has inspired, the light just starts to shine. We might not even realize it. It may not be like a song service where the Spirit of God moves in, but that may actually happen as well. But whether we're conscious or unconscious of what is actually happening, I promise you that His Word will not return void. That as we consume it, as we ponder it, as we seek understanding from it, God will shine light into our lives whether we realize it or not. And because of that, that light will shine to those that are around us. We may not even realize that we're shining brighter than we were shining before, but there will come a day when God will open a door and someone will say, tell me about that church. You mentioned about healing. Is that real? Does that actually happen? I heard somebody talking about the Holy Ghost. What is that about? because you decided to shine? No, because you, and it took a simple step of obedience to the Word of God, and you let the light shine. And because the light shined in you, it will shine to others. And so if we'd all stand this morning, I'm going to move these notebooks to the steps, and I'm just anticipating that through a very small step of obedience, you may not have your life all sorted out. It's a work in progress. We're all works in progress. You don't have to know the beginning from the end to get started. But I promise you, if you will take a simple step, if you will open up the Word of God each day, if you'll take 15 minutes out of your schedule and give it to God to let His light shine, as we, as a body, in unity, allow the light to shine into us individually, collectively, God is going to do a great work. If you already have an appetite for the Word of God, I'm so grateful. But perhaps you haven't gotten to that place where you yourself study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. God is asking you to not just be hearers, but doers this morning. And He promises that if you will, He will. If you will do a small thing, He will do a big thing. And it's so easy, and I'm guilty, we're all guilty, to let life just kind of squeeze out God. Well, we'll fit Him in on Sundays. We'll fit Him in on Wednesdays most of the time. But He hasn't called us to Sundays and Wednesdays. It's good to be faithful to the house of God. But this is a launching off point. This is not the destination. This is the place of empowerment that leads us to our everyday lives. And so as we open up this altar this morning, I'm asking that everyone here, every individual, if you can read, that's the only qualification to receive gift, this notebook, that you would take a journey with God, that you would allow His Word to shine the light in your life and stand back and watch and see what God will bring to pass. The seed that gets planted, that sprouts, well, that seed was there for a while before it showed life, but when it came forth mightily and speedily, and His promises are yea and amen. Would you come this morning? Would you make a commitment, maybe a new commitment or a recommitment, to a very small thing? And if you miss a day, make it up the next day. But let's, to the best of our ability, as a body, collectively, but individually, read the same words, to sing the same song each and every day for the next 60 days. Jesus, I pray Your blessing on Your people, God, that Your Word would go forth, God, that it would accomplish that which You would. Lord, that we would prove Your words, God, through simple acts of obedience. Lord, to develop new appetites, God, to move from darkness to light, to reorientate our own direction individually, God, that You collectively can move us into the promises. I ask it in Jesus' name this morning. Amen.